I think it's notable that we have this phrase, humble yourselves. And it's not unusual to notice it in that way. Be clothed with humility. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves, 1 Peter 5, under the mighty hand of God. There are two ways we can become humble. We can humble ourselves. But the scripture also says, I forget, somebody will help me remember, it might be in Luke, the Lord Jesus says, God is able, those who exalt themselves, he is able to humble them. There's only one way to really be exalted, and that is God. God exalts us in due time. God lifts us up. But if we lift ourselves up, God's going to bring us down. I think it might be in the context of no, it doesn't exactly have that phrase, but there's the parable about the man who took the best seat at the feast, you know, and then the master of the feast, the master of ceremonies, said, you got to take the back place. Somebody else more important than you is coming. And the Lord Jesus said there, Luke 14, verse 11, thank you, where he says about humbling and exaltation. But the other phrase, somebody can maybe find that in the course of the study, God is able to abase, able to humble those who exalt themselves. So what I'm getting at is that if we don't humble ourselves, God will help us to become humble. He will make sure that we learn the lesson of humility. It's so significant that if we go around exalting ourselves, he's going to allow us to learn the lesson of humility some other way. But this idea of lowliness in Ephesians chapter 4 is the same word as humility, humility of mind, the intention. I think it's really an important word. Sometimes we feel that as believers, we're just sort of in a canoe going down a river, and we're just going to, you know, as we pass by different landforms, God is going to sort of give us automatic maturity as we make progress down the river. But there is a lot of intention in the Christian life, not self-will, not self-ability, but intention to put ourselves, allow ourselves to be molded, allow ourselves to learn the lessons that God wants us to learn. And when we want to test our humility, if we might say it that way, it's exactly what Mark was saying earlier. We tell ourselves how important it is that we are little, that we really want. I mean, we really would desire this, right? We desire to be small. We desire that the Lord would help us be humble. And then somebody slights us, or somebody overlooks us, or somebody doesn't mention our name in a list of people who did something, and they leave us out. Hey, what about me? And, you know, weren't you just telling yourself? I remember Brother writing a commentary on this thought. You just told yourself that you really are very little. You really should be little before the Lord, and now you're a little offended. It just shows we haven't really learned that lesson. And when we think about this secret of unity, it's a little off-putting, you might say, or a little disappointing to our natural selves. Oh, man, I thought we were going to learn about how that other guy should be more united. I thought we were going to learn about how those other people should be walking more peaceably with me. And instead, it's, you want the secret of unity. It's, you be humble. I be humble. I become humble. I have lowliness. And it just builds on that foundation. If we haven't got that foundation, we can hardly even make progress in the rest of these two verses.
I can't help but think of the, in connection with what you're saying, with the verses that you brought out in Matthew, because the Lord says it's easier. It's easier to be meek and lowly, and we're talking about, you know, you got to forget yourself, forget your interests. And at the time, it seems so difficult, like, because there's the constant pride that flares up that wants to, but it's easier, really, to not be that way. And you have to consider why. It's because now we're not moving in self-interest. And you think of the man in the parable that goes to the chief place at the dinner table. Well, now he's got to earn his place there. And he's got to prove that he's going to belong, or he's going to be sent backwards, and he's going to be humiliated and humbled, because no one wants to be humbled outside of themselves. But if you take the lowest position, now it's the easiest thing to do. You just go and sit down, and you're able to enjoy the feast. And so now, if I'm able to empty myself, if I'm able to abase myself, so what am I replacing it with? I'm replacing it with the interests, the burden, the yoke of the Lord Jesus. So now I am with his interests. And what makes it easier is when we're united, we're now all moving in the same direction. Because if everyone wants the chief place of the feast, nobody's going to get it. But if everyone is more interested in the Lord Jesus getting it, then he is assured to have it.
Amen.
So that is why it is easier to do. Because when I'm not, don't care about myself, I don't care about myself, and my life just becomes. And I think that's such a contrast between the difficulty I have in pushing myself down. But the reality is, when I'm able to humble myself, my life becomes so much easier. The burden is lifted off my shoulder. The burden that I carry, that is myself.
You know, I want to move us along because time is quickly going. The first two characteristics we found in Matthew 11 is the second one that's in this passage. It was lowly and meek in Matthew 11. Here it's, no, it was meek and lowly in Matthew, and now it's lowly and meek. Second attribute, the second secret is meek. These first two attributes have to deal with our internal constitution, if I could put it that way. And one of the beautiful things, I found this really great definition of meekness. Just want to read it real quick. It says, meekness is an inward grace of the soul and the exercises of the soul that are firstly and chiefly towards God. It is the temper of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good and therefore without disputing or resisting. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is an internal fortitude of character that says everything that happens is by God's design and accepted as such, and I'm going to move forward. You know, Joey was just talking about how you can just relieve yourself of that burden. Well, the reality is that when I understand this idea of meekness, is that every circumstance that comes into my life, every person who steps on my toe, every person who cuts me off in the road, every person who says a bad word about me, that is allowed by God. And meekness says, I'm going to take that as from the Lord and say, Lord, teach me what you want me to learn through that circumstance. Think about Moses. Moses was called one of the meekest servants of all, and he had to deal with a whole bunch of stuff. A whole bunch of people who were bad-mouthing him, talking ill about him, saying, who made you, Moses, who told you you're the only one that can hear from God? You know, and you know, you, that would be an assault, and we'd all react and, you know, and respond. You know, someone says something to you, you have an idea, and you present it, and it just slapped down and burned up, and you go, whoa, that was wrong. Meekness says, I'm going to endure that because, okay, God allowed that for some purpose. It's this quiet disposition that understands everything that comes our way is by divine design, and so I'm resolved and resting in that reality. Think of the Lord Jesus. He walked in this scene, and everything that happened to him, he took it as it happened, and he demonstrated this strength of character and resolve. So these first two attributes, these first two secrets are internal. It's about our internal disposition. One, the absence of self. And the second thing, to recognize the sovereign will of God as he allows circumstances to impact our lives.
I just have a real quick sentence. I really appreciated this comparison of lowliness, humility, and meekness. Humility gives no offense, and meekness takes no offense. Very nice.
I'd like to add that, interestingly, that the New King James uses the word gentle, gentleness. And in my mind, it comes across like, if you're gentle, you have strength, but you apply it very delicately. Mm-hmm. So I call it strength under control. Mm-hmm. So you know, you could react a certain way, but you've got it under control. So I see it as strength under control. You're not exerting all the strength that you could exert. Mm-hmm.